I'm fly, nigga. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hard, nigga. Bad, nigga. I'm fly. Please don't be alarmed. It's just me high up over here. Chilling with my niggas.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Bedtime Bitching with Roxy. Is it Roxy or Roxy Hayes? How don't I know the name of my own show? I'm about to Google it real quick. While I Google that, I want to introduce y'all to my guest today, comedian Keenan Baker. Let the people know a little bit about yourself while I Google the name of my own show.
What up, y'all? Keenan Baker here, man. Stand-up comedian, man. Been doing it a long time now, over 12 years or so. Anime lover. And I ain't one of these anime. I'm an anime nerd, but not a nerd to where it's just like, if you don't know as much as I do, then you're not a part of the community. You know, that's how they be sounding to me when they be all just anal about the shit, man. I just love watching it. I grew up with it. And yeah, man, just overall fun person, man. You know, yeah.
Definitely fun person. You have a podcast.
Yeah, right. Podcast called Animation, S-H-U-N. We had Roxy on there. Roxy was an incredible guest. She showed out as everybody knows she will. Go back and watch that episode. It was the episode, I think it's called Anime Characters You Want to Smash, meaning anime characters you want to fuck. This was Roxy's topic, so don't get on the men being like, hey, the man had a woman on a podcast and then now they want to talk about sex. No.
We I chose
her,
it.
Yeah, we gave her the floor. She said, nigga, we talking about this shit. I was like, let's get it. So she on there talking about, you know, getting DP'd, man. So go watch the episode if you want to hear her talk about getting DP'd, man. It's a hilarious episode.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. And I just looked up my show. It is Bedtime Bitching with Roxy Hayes. I did put my last name in there. So make sure to check this out if you're listening. You're either listening on Patreon. So thank you. If you're watching, we're actually watching on Patreon. You get to see the full unedited behind the scenes, everything. And if you're listening on either SoundCloud or Apple Podcasts, thank you. Make sure to give the show a rating. Let me know what you think. Leave a comment right now. We sitting at 5 stars. This is a 5-star podcast. So thank y'all very much. So pretty much the gist of this show is we like to bitch, rant and ramble about things that we love, because love and hate, the yin and yang, that you're always going to hate something about something that you love. You're never going to fully love it. If you're really passionate about something, there's something about it that you completely loathe. And so Keenan was talking to me about a show called, what is it called? 60 Days?
I think it's called 60 Days in Jail or 60 Days In. Yeah.
60 Days. And it's a docuseries. 60 Days In.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what is this show about?
Well, first of all, I didn't even know. Like, I just turned on Netflix and it was like season 6. I was like, God, okay. Man. And then I hit play and then I found out it was pretty much people volunteering purposely to go to jail. And in some cases, it's to pretty much try to like figure out the things that are going wrong in jail, whether it's corruptness and stuff like that, or just drugs being pushed in there. And then, you know, to kind of go back to the officers and go back to the main officer or whatever the case may be, let them know that there's some shit going on. My issue was, what is plenty of issues with the show, but there's plenty of greatness with the show too. Is that there's black people on the show
that are volunteering to go?
Yes, nigga. And that's my issue. It's like,
wait.
And so I was like, so when I saw it, I was like, oh, season 6. I was like, okay, maybe there wasn't a black people season 1. No, there is black people pretty much every season
from the jump.
Yes. Mm-mm. So I started watching. I said, this show was stupid, but I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop, man.
I think it's something about like reality show docuseries. It's probably the same reason like people like comedy, because it's like it's real, or it's supposed to be real. Like we like things that feel relatable, and so reality shows be sucking you the fuck in. Yeah. And there's always, it's 6 seasons. How many episodes is this? It's a lot of shit.
Because when you know what's funny with reality shows too, I know
87 episodes. Sorry.
I'm sure we'll get deeper into it during the show. But my thing, when I started watching reality shows, at a certain point I was like, okay, this is fake. This is clearly scripted. Mm-hmm. There's clearly a setup here. They're clearly baiting a story here. This one felt 100% real. If it's fake, then it's fake. Then they got me. But I'm pretty hard to get. This shit felt 100% real. Niggas getting beat up and knocked out.
They get knocked out?
People getting beat up on the show. Yeah. Yes. people having anxiety attacks, getting pulled out early, all that shit. But like, I can't do it. They got to put like certain signals, hand signals saying, you know, they can't, you know, they got to get pulled out because they fear for their life, all that shit.
Oh, yeah. Shit. So yeah. I will say, so docuseries are considered to be like actually real. So they're like documentaries. Then reality shows are like, okay, this might not be real. But I do always feel like when I'm watching some of the docuseries, I'm like, there's definitely elements of this that's scripted. But a motherfucker get knocked out.
Yeah, dude's getting like season six, some dude, I think I forgot the dude's name. His name was like 6'7", or he was like a big dude. They called him like six, his height or whatever. And then somebody paid him and food, of course, to like beat up this other dude. And he did it. They showed it and everything. Dude was leaking.
Wait a minute. And this is on Netflix.
This is season six.
60 days in. Is that like your favorite, I guess, docuseries reality show right now?
Right now, yeah. I got to actually go back, because what I started doing when I watched that show was after that, I started just YouTubing the other seasons, because Netflix only has season six on there for whatever reason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I started like YouTubing the other seasons and just watching clips. And I was just like, why haven't I heard of this?
Why am I just now seeing this? It sounds like a worse version of Beyond Scare Straight. Like, because they're not teaching them a lesson. They're kind of, it sounds like they're going in there to snitch.
Essentially. So
like you're choosing to go into a scary place to snitch, which is beneficial to the prisoners or like the system as a whole, but still, yeah. That's a lot.
Well, it's crazy. Like, do you mind me going into the episode or not?
We spoil on here. If you listen, okay. This is spoilers.
Spoiler alert, season six, 60 days in. So they had this, it's funny, they had like this one black dude on there. He's like an ex-athlete, I think former college football player. You can tell, handsome dude, ripped up, shredded. So he went in there like kind of like cocky, like, nigga, I'm kind of from a neighborhood, so let's get it. And he was doing his thing. Like, he got respect in there quickly. And then a lot of the dudes, they kind of started like, a lot of the dudes that were supposed to be in on the show too, they kind of dropped out because they just didn't have heart. They didn't have it. They saw a motherfucker get shanked in there. It was like crazy. Yeah. You saw a dude get shanked and everything. So what they did was they pulled a corrections officer from another season in Atlanta. This one season was in Alabama. They pulled it from Atlanta, and he's like a corrections officer, but he's a black dude. And he came in, he was an inmate. Let me tell you something. The corrections officer, he went in there and ran the fucking jail. It was crazy. they call themselves pod bosses. And he came in there within a week, he was a pod boss. Yo, man, I need you to pay my food back, my nigga. If you don't pay my food back, I'm running up on your chin, bro. Like,
what?
And he's a corrections officer from another district, another state or whatever. So he knew the game. I think they actually did the show on his one time. And then so they trusted him to be able to get information. So when he went in there, he was literally punking dudes. He kind of had like a little bitch in there in a sense of like his cellmate was just like, yo, go get out there and see who didn't pay my money. Okay, no problem. I'll go. And he'll go out there, see who didn't pay his money, come back. He made sure he fed them, clothed them, and everything. It was like, it was the craziest shit, man. But it's the craziest, dumbest show in the world to me. Like, go ahead.
Well, no, why are we both like, no, you go. why do you think you like it so much? Like, what about it?
Because it was fascinating to see, like, one, it's just fascinating to see jail and in a place that you, like, you look, like, as black people, it was like, I don't know why. I don't say it's black people. I'll say it's me. I won't say it's black people. But for me, I never wanted to go to jail, but I was still fascinated by jail. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so you see movies about it, and then now you're seeing the reality of it, and and everything feels 100% real. And just seeing, you know, people in there, how they're navigating their life. Some people are just trying to listen. Like, I'm just trying to do my time, bro. I ain't here to start no shit. Some people are in there for years. And so they're making it like it's years. They're like, yo, this is my life now. They come in there. They always go from the man's side, because men and women, they go to the men's jail, then to the women's jail. And there's like a significant difference. Like, the women are in there. Like, this specific one was just like, we got each other's back, girl. Make sure you're good. You need some tampons. The niggas is just like, survive, nigga.
I wanted to, like, when I was in jail for them 4 days. It was so nice. Like, the women were pleasant. Like, it apparently had been some fights and stuff, but, like, for the most part, everybody was just, like you said, just trying to do their time and go back to their families. Male jail seems so, I guess it's just, like, the alpha. Like
it's the alpha, it's the testosterone. Because I feel like with women, and I feel like, at least for the jail part of it, it's just like, yo, like, when I was watching the women version, they were saying pretty much, like, they wasn't fighting unless some shit had to be fought. Yeah. You just completely disrespected me. The dudes, it's just the energy in there. The energy is like, I mean, most fights broke up because of disrespect too, but the disrespect was like very easy. You look at a nigga too long, you walk by a nigga, you feel the energy off. Hey, bro, what you looking at type thing. Like, that's different. And the women in jail, unless they had, and I would say at least on the women's side, it seemed like they were dealing with a lot more mental issues. I'm sure the men were also, I'm positive the men were. But it seemed like they were trying to at least bottle that in more. Whereas you could tell it was like with the women, they were like falling on the floor, screaming, having like episodes. Oh, and it was shit. Just like, it was like, okay, it's kind of wild in here.
Damn. And you watched the whole sixth season and you looking up the other.
Yeah, I watched like the, you know how reality shows where they do the, you know, afterwards, everybody comes back together for the,
the
reunion show. They did the reunion part. They all come back and, you know, the pod boss dude, the corrections officer, he came in. He was just like, man, I just felt like this dude, you was a bitch, man. As soon as you walked in, I just felt you just didn't have it in you. You just had kind of like bitch energy. Like, it just, so I knew you was going to immediately quit. I didn't have no faith in you. Why not, man? You ain't gonna say that. I can say whatever I want to say, you know. So the CEO dude, I don't know if he might be front of projects, and then he just, you know, he might be one of those dudes front of projects, and he knows it better than everybody. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I watched the reunions. I was going back watching the other season, like highlights, like craziest fight scenes and all that. I was like, oh shit.
That's how you know you're really fucking with stuff, when you're trying to find the extra shit. Like, yo, I need the compilation. Who has watched all of this shit and done it like that? Is that like the only show that you've gotten deep like that into, like reality show, docuseries?
Recently, yeah. I feel like everything else. What have I watched recently? I mean, I think How to Catch a Murderer. What was that show called when it first came out? I forgot what it's called. It was a messed up show on Netflix where they pretty much set up like a kid. I think he might have even had like autism or something like that. They kind of like, they kind of baited him to like either like confess something.
Get murdered?
How to Get Murdered. So I forgot what it's called.
They had the kid set up to get killed?
No, they had him set up to like, kind of like, I think like snitch a story on somebody. Like, something like that. I forgot.
Okay. Netflix has a lot of those kind of like movies, and all their documentaries are like really fucked up. Like, it's only a couple I've seen where I'm like, oh, this was a pleasant watch. Like, did you see the one, the Abducted in Plain Sight?
I think I saw it, but I didn't hear it.
That's probably one of the most fucked up things I've ever seen in my life, about the little girl and the parent. Like, the parents were letting the predator like come spend a night in their house because he was saying that his psychiatrist needed, the psychiatrist told him in order to get better, he had to sleep next to their daughter.
A random person.
This is their neighbor. So, like, they see him all the time. Like, and so he would just come over and spend the night. He ends up kidnapping the daughter and, like, molesting her and saying that aliens told her to do stuff. And then, like, they end up getting her back. The dad jacked off the predator because he was like, I need some relief. The mom had sex with him. Whoa. Like, yo, a spoiler alert.
Whoa.
Even me telling you, like, go watch that today. If you're going to watch any documentary today, watch Abducted in Plain Sight, because it's so fucked up. They had other daughters, so all of this is going around. That daughter got kidnapped like two or three times by the same man. And they were like letting it happen. Like, they were letting him kidnap their daughter.
Okay, first things first. Are they from the Caucasus Mountains? Okay,
I'm saying that these were white people. And they were just like, I don't understand what's going on. Like, she wanted to go meet him and work at some place in the city, and they knew he was there, and the mom was like, yeah, we just had to let her go, because if we didn't, you know, she was going to be so upset. I'm like, she's been kidnapped 2 or 3 times.
See, you don't have a choice. Like, yo, you're a child. I don't care what you have to say. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? So, like, that one's fucked up. We talked a little bit earlier, and I know you haven't seen it yet, but Tinder Swindler is also one of the funniest things I've ever seen, if we're just talking documentaries, because this man, first of all, not that attractive. Like, not that he was ugly, but, like, to be swindling bitches, if Idris Elba was like, give me some money, I'll give you everything I have. My home, yes, you can swindle me. But this was just like a regular, he wasn't like super muscular, whatever. He acted like he had money. He was flying them on private jets, but he was, once again, if y'all ain't seen these by now, tough titty, this ain't just come out.
Yeah.
He was like essentially doing Ponzi schemes, and he had women taking loans out, Kenan, like multiple loans. This one woman took out 9 loans.
Without giving dick.
One he gave dick to, the other one he didn't. They were just like friends. And he would be like, you gotta watch it. Like this woman like took out $250,000 for this man. It's not no small amounts of money. Taking out so much fucking money. And it just did not make sense to me. It did not make sense. Even my daughter watched it, and she was like, why are they doing that? Like, what's going on? I ain't never going to get no man no money like that. I'm like, good job, baby. That's why I want you to watch these things.
Raising so her right.
See, Roxy. Yeah, we don't give them no money. Even if we are, even if you're not getting swindled, okay? We get the money. That is a gender role I am all the way for. Gender role. Give me the money.
That is a... All right. This is going to come off as victim blaming, but... The truth is the truth. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with you if you feel like you have to do that.
I agree. Like, there's something with, like, I hope all of them got therapy, because like
yes.
So much happens in it that, but it, they were not the only victims. He had been doing this to multiple women for years. I think they said he had amassed maybe like $10 million from everybody or something crazy like that. So it's like, obviously whatever he's doing, he's doing it well. He's picking the people that he know, like, because let's say he was trying to swindle me, right? I can't get a loan for that amount of money. You know what
exactly,
I mean? Like,
exactly.
He's picking women that have, like, probably come from good families, got good credit. Like, they also just have money in this lifestyle. So it's like, but like you said, like, some of them, they had only been talking for like a couple months, maybe even weeks. And you're giving somebody $250,000. I don't give a fuck if I've known you for my entire life, quarter of a million just off top. And it was just him saying, I love you all quick. And I'm like, did nobody teach y'all these red flags? Like, do y'all not watch documentaries? Because I watch enough to at least be like, nah, bro, this isn't real.
Yeah.
This isn't real.
It's funny. I mean, I did. One of my homeboys told me when I was in middle school, he was like, man, if you want to get some pussy, you got to tell a girl you love her. And I was
not
like,
middle school.
And I started telling every girl I loved her. I didn't get that in middle school. I didn't get any in that middle school.
But still.
I was telling girls, hey, you know, I love you, girl. I remember this girl name. I won't say her name, but black girl. And I'm glad, you know, she had her shit together. She was just like.
In middle school?
Yeah, it was like in 7th grade. And I was just like, hey, this is like, let you know. I'm just something about you. I love you. And she was like, nigga, you're in the 7th grade. You don't know what love is.
Oh, like, shit. Let's go. Yes, ma'am.
Like, that kind of like put me in my place at that point. But let me ask you this then. Let me ask you about the Tinder swindler stuff. Have you ever been swindled at anything before from a dude?
Not swindled. So like, I've dated somebody without money and I was helping them, and then I was like, no, this is, I'm not helping you no more. Like, but it wasn't like he was like, I need help me, please. They're coming to kill me. And I'm like, oh yeah, here you go. Like, I definitely didn't like fucked up my shit trying to help somebody else but I was like with them, like, we lived together, we were in the house, we were like engaged. It wasn't like because he's like hopping country to country, they see him once a month type shit. So like, you're not even spending a lot of time with this person.
Yeah,
like it but I get it, especially like if you we all want love, we want to feel love, so sometimes we do stupid shit because we don't want that person to leave. But at some point logic has to get kicked in. Like maybe the first loan. I'll let I, I The first loan.
How much is the first loan, though? How much is that?
The first, it was like $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. Like, it wasn't no, the first loan, if I'm giving you 10 racks, don't ever call me again. Like, yeah. Like, this is, you're never getting another cent out of me. Whatever, if you need more than 10 racks to do what you need to do, I don't know what to tell you.
Find somewhere else.
Find it elsewhere. Go piece it together.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to be probably hunting you down to get my bread back.
I want my bread back. This is a loan. Yeah. Half, a quarter of $1 million. It's wild.
I mean, I feel like I pick up stuff quick. I've been swindled before by women. I think most dudes have, in a sense, when it comes to like being swindled out of a meal or something like that. We've been swindled out of food.
Oh, yeah. We'll swindle y'all out of food. But y'all know that. Y'all just think it's going to, like you said, I love you. Y'all be thinking, okay, if I get her some food, she going to be full enough to give me some pussy. And we know that. That's why we like, at least give me the food. You here for the pussy. We need to get what we can get, which is food, which is money, which is this. It's equivalent exchange. Full Metal Alchemist.
But yeah, I mean, I've noticed, like, I picked it up even on dates before. I've been in the middle of dates, be like, oh, this is just, she's literally getting this food, and she's gonna probably even has another nigga back home that she's gonna probably give.
Transactional.
Yeah, this is, she's taking my left, she's taking the leftovers from here. I had a girl order a second meal, like, can I get something else to go? And I was like, oh, this is for a nigga. And I was just like, all right. After that date, she tried to like, let's go out again. I was like, I'm good. I didn't go off. I didn't even call her out about it. I was like, nah, I'm straight. Like, I don't see anything between us. I thought we had a good first date. I was like, nigga, because you got two meals.
I would have been like, this is great. I would like another plate, please.
Yeah. I gotta keep dating this nigga. I can feed me and my dude on the side.
I love this. I'm definitely in my 20s, I was not shit. I wasn't shit. I was definitely out here swindling. Like, oh, I like you so much. I don't like you. One time I went on 8 dates in a day.
You ain't shit.
I was just collecting food. I didn't have to cook all collecting weekend.
Food? Nigga?
I went on 8 food dates. It was times. I remember when 300 came out. I was just out here getting food, and then 300 came out. I saw that movie like the opening weekend. I saw like 6 times, and okay. I remember I had said something like, like while they was doing it, and he was like, "Oh, that trailer! That trailer was crazy."
So you triggered me right now. You just triggered me 100%.
No, not triggering.
This literally, I'm really triggered, but like,
yeah,
this
like, oh
sparked the moment, because that same shit happened to me. It wasn't 300, but it was Deja Vu. Remember the movie Deja Vu with Denzel Washington?
And who was, what's her name? Paula Patton?
Was it Paula Patton or Sanaa Lathan? No, Sanaa Lathan was the other one. But Paula Patton, it was Paula Patton.
I'm gonna look it up.
Same shit happened. This girl I was dating, and this is what made me even more mad, because in my situation, my brother, he just came into town. He was in college, so he just came in town, and so she was like, "Yo, do you got a She's like, "Do you got a guy friend from my cousin? You know, my cousin's in town." I was like, "Oh, cool, perfect. Tyler, my brother's in town, so let's do this." So I go there, and for some reason, my brother, this nigga doesn't bring his wallet. So now I got to pay for my brother. The girl that she was setting him up with was just like, "Well, I don't pay for dates," so now I pay for my girl's date, his date, and my brother. So I'm in the movie steaming. I can't even focus on the movie. The movie ain't shit to me at this point. So I'm just sitting there.
$50.
Nigga. You know, yeah, movie tickets. I mean, this is a while ago. So movie tickets might have been like, about 12, 13 a piece of time. So I'm sitting in there, I'm just watching, and then literally they start laughing at something that's not funny. And I'm just like, I pick up shit pretty quickly. I was just like, nah. So we watch the movie, get back to her. She's in college at the time. We go back to her dorm. We're kicking it, playing cards or whatever. And then it's her cousin slips up and says they went and saw the movie earlier with 2 other niggas. Like, slips and said it. Like, she didn't even realize she even said it. She kind of was just talking in conversation. She's like, yeah, we went there earlier. And I looked at me and my brother just locked eye. We were just like, motherfuckers. And I'm like looking at him like, you motherfucker, I had to pay for your
date. Yeah, like, I had to pay for your date to see the same movie again that she had already seen.
So when you said that, I was just like, Roxy.
Y'all here. But see, like, I was not. Okay, so this is when I used to really not be shit because I wouldn't properly communicate. Like, oh, I'm dating, like, a couple other people. Yeah. So I know they thought. But here's the thing about men. I didn't finish that statement. Here's the thing about men. A lot of times, and you know, when we speak, we're speaking in generalizations because you have to.
Yeah.
But dudes be wanting to be the only dude, but they be talking to multiple women, but they don't want you talking to multiple men. So they be getting really upset, especially in your 20s when you don't communicate. They be wanting to feel like they're the only dude you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they low-key know you're not, they want to feel like it. It's like an ego thing.
Well, it's 100%. It's 100% ego. It's literally, we don't want to know, we want to know that we're the only dude. And then we want to know if we're, especially if we're smashing, that we're the only dick. Because we feel like when we're the only dick or when we're smashing, we always feel like we're the best dick. It's rarely the case, but.
Like my dick is better than his dick.
And, yeah. So if you're smashing another nigga, even if like the guy that you're dating, the guy that likes you, whatever, is better, there's a possible chance that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, it's definitely an ego thing and a selfish thing. It's like, I think it comes on from both things. Like sometimes I think girls probably deal with it a little bit better than men do. Bless you. But I do feel like that women kind of have it all a little bit too. Like, we're just like, nigga, I don't want you out here. Especially if you give a girl some good stuff, she can be like, all right, nigga, you
can't be out here.
Yeah, you ain't gonna be out here just giving this a whole
doing this and making bras fall in love with you and then coming over here. Yeah, I agree. But I wasn't shit. And I just
It's your 20s.
Yeah, but like that's what it's for. Like nobody shit. That's why I'm never gonna tell anybody what to do, but I don't advise anybody get married in their 20s. Like I'm actually glad that I didn't get married when I was supposed to. When I was planning on it, which is like 28. Because I'm like at 33, I'm completely different. Like I'm not even close to that person that I was. So I'm glad I didn't get married in my 20s because I'm like, would I still be this person? Because I think I'm fucking dope now. I was not dope then. I was an asshole. Yeah. I was like a piece of shit. So like, would I still be that piece of shit? Would I have still evolved into this person? Would I have done that? And I've seen people that can make it work and like get married younger and like they have amazing relationships and they're still able to grow. But that takes like a specific, I think that takes like a specific type of people and like relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. My girl is, you know, my wife is 29. We got married when she's 29, so she turns 30 this year. But I think it just depends on the maturity of the people, the conversations that you guys have. Like at least with her and I, we have very uncomfortable conversations. So
got
so it's like one of those things. Like, all right, this and this and that. It's all right, cool. And then also too, I mean, she was in therapy for a second, but I was in therapy for over three, four years.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot of issues worked out. I'm not saying I'm not perfect. I can still use therapy, but you know, I got it through the city. So nigga, they said 3 years and you're
they said you're done. But that's also important too. Like, you know, figuring out who y'all are separately and also together, getting your stuff. So you're not bringing it in to the relationship and like putting that baggage on somebody else. I feel like a lot of people do that shit. Like, oh, well, you know, I'm this person and you have to accept it because you love me. It's like, no,
nigga, I don't.
I don't have to and I don't like it. And even bringing it back to reality shows, my ex-fiance was on a reality show. On Oprah's network. I'm telling it all. He was on, what's the fucking name of the show? Ready to Love. This is crazy. It's Ready to Love. It's people that are like 30s, 40s, and they're like 40s, 50s, I think. 30s, 40s, 50s. I don't know what the age, but it's like that. Like, it's like, these are people that are a little bit older, and they're looking to love, and they're looking to settle down. So I had a...
Wait. What season? I'm looking this up. What season?
Not this last one. The one before this one. I'm going to send you the link. I'll send you the link.
Okay.
This motherfucker got kicked off the first episode. And I was just watching it. And it was just so interesting because, like, I know people that have written for reality shows. Like, I know people that, like, write the scripts. And I know people that, like, and how some of them work. So some of them, that's just completely scripted, like, blah, blah, blah. Some of them, like, it's not fully scripted. They'll record some stuff and be like, okay, so this is the story, and they'll go back and frame certain stuff around what happened. So, but with this one, the funniest thing to me is they were like, he's fucking awkward. He's just looking at other women and all of this stuff. And it was just so funny to me that they like captured the type of piece of shit he was in such a short amount of time. But the part that made me mad was people was like feeling sympathy for him. Like, oh, he's just awkward. He's this. And maybe he's this. So to me, that was interesting too. Just how like we put our own perspectives on stuff. You know what I mean? It's like you see this person and maybe you see something that you identify with. So you want it to be that, even if it's not that. So I know that's kind of a tangent-y thing, but that was just very interesting to me. So we're talking about, but that's a swindling motherfucker. He was just a piece of shit. But he definitely swindled. He got me a little bit. I got, but not really.
A little bit? Just a little bit.
I was just helping. Like we were working in tandem. But then I was like, hey, all right.
So is that him on a thumbnail?
Yes. I'm like, you gotta go, brother. But then like other women were telling me, like, he did this to me and this to me, and like fuck my car up and like.
Oh, he wanted these. Yeah.
Yeah, he fucked y'all. I'm like, what the fuck? And then he ended up, I saw the reunion, and like he had already had another girl pregnant when he came on the show. So now he got three kids, three moms, treats them all poorly. Like, yeah, that was just me, late 20s. I was like 29. Mm. And I was like, I love him so much. And then no.
you met him at 29.
I met him, 28, 29. We about to get married. Didn't work. Glad it didn't work. Cause
what did you see in him that made him marriage material?
Yo, we were high when we got engaged. That's a whole other story. But like I was eating edibles for like 3-4 days. But like it's funny when you go back and like cause like I don't hate people, but I hate people. Like I like that's a motherfucker. If I saw I rock his ass today. Like if he came at me, I rock him. Wouldn't be no conversation. But I really had to remember what I liked about this person because like how much I don't like him and how terrible he was, but like super funny, like nice, but like quiet funny, not just like boastful funny. But we had a lot of stuff in common and just, you get it, you're like a blurred. So it's just like, it's hard to meet people that are into what you're into. And it's not like, you gotta like the same anime. I like, you gotta like this. But when you do find somebody that likes what you like and is in maybe as equally passionate about some of the stuff you like you feel like, oh, I belong. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, we connect. I belong. I feel welcomed here. Like, it's a thing, especially being a black nerd. You don't always feel welcome or understood. So you find somebody, you're like, yo, you understand me. I like it here. And then the dick was good.
It helps, I guess.
Yo, man. But then, like, also you start seeing the narcissist. That's why I'm like, I get how people can be swindled to a certain extent. Like, when somebody's charming and they give you all of this attention and you're this and this and this, you know, you like them. And I do genuinely feel like he loved me and shit, but also he's just, like, a terrible person. So did you love me or are you just, like, a crazy person? You know what I mean? So I get it. But once again, after the first loan, where does your love stop? It should stop after the first loan.
I mean, for me, I think the most I can say I gave a woman money was, it was like I said, it was my girlfriend. It was a girl I was pretty much like, I wasn't living with her, but we were damn living together at the time. Mm-hmm. I was staying at her crib all the time. And I helped her like pay rent, like, cause she didn't have all her money cause she just got fired from the job. So I wasn't necessarily doing amazing at the time, but I had a steady job that was paying me decent at the time or whatever the case may be before they started garnishing my checks from student loans. So I was able to pay like half of her rent, not her whole rent, but like she needed half of her half. And after that, I was kind of just like, all right, this can't, I told her, I was like, this is next month. I need you to get it together, nigga. Like I wasn't like, yo, just go ahead and keep doing what you're doing. Like, I'm very stern in that sense. It's like, I was like, you need, like, you messed, like, this is a slip up. Cause she was known for getting fired from job. Like every job that I, when we were dating, on and on for 5 years. I say in the first 2 years, she probably had like six different jobs.
God damn, ma'am.
And it's just like, I don't know what's happening. Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
Why they keep firing? Like, bitch, you stole. That's why. You were stealing shoes. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
why would they let me go for just petty theft? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Madam? So my thing is, because I have very little patience, not very little patience, but like, I'm always going to see both sides. I always feel like there's, in most cases, not in every case, but in most cases, there's always blame on both people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can never fully be the victim about something. Every situation that I've been in, there's situations that I've either enabled or I just look past because I was this much infatuated with a person, but I'm partially to blame. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So let me ask you this. What was the first reality show that you got into then?
Ooh. Okay. So I used to watch like Real World. So like Real World was probably like the one that I would just be like, yo, what's going on? These people are crazy. And then like I used to just sit during the summer, like in middle school, probably like middle school. I would just like eat a tub of Blue Bell ice cream, just be in the house. Like, that's the first kind of summer where I wasn't like going out and playing and shit. I would just be in the house. So I would watch Real World, Road Rules Challenge. Then I started watching like all the like Flavor of Love was probably like the one where, like, as far as like love dating reality shows, that was the show. Yeah. Cause it was like, what the fuck? Flavor Flav? What the fuck? These regular looking women, like, not in a mean way, but like, they were just like, I could see them at the store. And then as it progressed, he started getting like IG models. And we were like, that's, go back to the first season. I think that's what made the first season so just like crazy. It was just regular people out here doing shit. And then I used to watch all of those in the spinoffs. So like, I Love New York, Real Chance of Love, Daisy of Love, Rock of Love, Love of Ray J, For the Love of Money. Like, I was like, VH1 reality shows was my shit. I used to watch that shit every day as far as like just reality shows. I never really got into loving Hip Hop. I know what's going on just because, you know, as a comedian, you got to know what's going on that's popular or trending because you need to be up and able to tell a joke about it. But like, I didn't like it because I'm like, why y'all, like, y'all are just fighting. I don't understand what the goal of this show is. Like, I love for Flavor of Love, they're trying to fall in love and get married. That's the goal. Love and Hip Hop, what are y'all trying to do? Like, what's this show about? Like, what are y'all, you say it's, there's no hip hop. I barely hear any music on here. Like, what's the goal of the show? And I, if we're being honest, want to say this in the best way. If I'm going to watch people being ratchet and ignorant, I want to watch other hues doing it. Like, I don't like seeing my people being out here like that. I want to see, that's why I love Jersey Shore. Y'all ignorant. Like, you know, like show other races ignorance. Our ignorance is always highlighted. Other races ignorance is very ignorant. Show that. I love Jersey Shore. They will be embarrassments to people. And I'm like, yes. See how it feels. Which is the one that you feel like got you in? Or like, it could be a documentary or a docuseries, since we all kind of in that realm.
I mean, it's the same what you said. It was Real World. Cause I never messed with Real World. Cause I was just like, yeah, I don't care to see a bunch of white people. I just don't care. It was, they're boring. I just can't relate to this. And then I think it was Real World New York.
Is that the one with the black girl and the black dude, Theo? And let me look.
it was a light skinned black girl. And then it was a girl named Coral, I think her name was.
Yeah.
I think it might have had like a kind of a nerdy black dude.
Coral.
She
used to be everything.
Yeah, and Coral was in a couple, like, she ended up being a couple MTV shows after that.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember because I was just, you know, I was like, I saw the two girls, I was like, I'm attracted. So I was like, I can watch it.
It was
two women I'm attracted to. And then I was able to watch it. And then so Real World, I watched Road Rules here and there. And then I kind of fell off at that point a little bit from what I can remember. And then, like you said, it was Flavor of Love. Flavor of Love came and that shit hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, why do I like this show? Why do I want to watch this? This shit is terrible.
It was a train wreck.
But then I was. Did you see women on there? Beautiful. I saw Hoops. I was like, yo, I'm going to find Hoops and I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to find somehow make this happen. And I didn't have an issue with New York either. I like New York. Like, people didn't like her. I mean, for her, I just felt like she was, she had an attitude, but I feel like she was a little misunderstood in a sense. And I think she was playing it up too. And she was good at playing. Are you frozen?
There we go. Yeah, it froze. Let me see. There we go. Okay, you back. Okay, what were you saying about New York?
I feel like she was just a little bit misunderstood, but she was also just playing the game. Like, it was just like, all right, cool. I feel like she was like, yo, even if I don't like Flavor Flav, I'm going to get a show out of this shit.
And she did. And her show was crazy. Her show was crazy. It was fucking bananas. I actually just remember another show I used to watch, and I guess this kind of leans back into like the reality show versus the docuseries. So like all those reality, but like I used to watch True Life.
Oh yeah, True Life was
definitely more like this is real.
True Life
like,
too. Yeah.
True Life has some crazy. True Life is how I learned about like what polyamory was. So like people are all going crazy like poly now. That shit's not new. First of all, it's been around for centuries, but like it was an episode with this dude and he lived with two other dudes and they were poly, so they were all together. And he was just like, they like each other more than they like me. So he's like, I'm dating these two other people, and I'm the odd one out. Like, I still have to go to bed by myself. Like, I'm not in on all their jokes. And I was like, God damn, that's sad. Like, just imagine you have all this around you, and they're like, not you right now, though. So he wanted to add somebody else in, another dude, and they were just like, no. At first, they were like, no. We don't want anybody else in. And then he did end up adding a dude. But they are at the end. I think they breaking up with him. But like, just shit like that, and learning about like different people's lives and like people be going through shit. It was one lady, this black lady, and she was adopted and she was trying to find her mom. She did end up finding her mom. And like on the show, she was like, you know, the mom was like, yeah, I want to come back around. I'm sorry if I left you. She was doing drugs. And then she just stopped having contact with the girl after the show filmed.
Damn.
Yo, so it's like, this is like, that ain't scripted. Like, that's not, that's a documentary. Like, that shit is hurtful.
Yeah, the episode of True Life that sticks out to me, I don't know why it sticks out, but it was an episode where this dude, because True Life was one of those, you're right. Because now you're bringing memories back about some of these shows. It was an episode of True Life where this dude, he just wanted bigger calves.
he got the plastic. Yes. He was taking roids or plastic surgery.
He got plastic surgery. I think he was taking roids too, but he ended up getting plastic calf surgery. And he was just like, he was so happy.
Out here wearing shorts. I remember it because me and my little brother watching it, like, yo, calves, bro? Calves? He paid so much money for those fucking calves.
Yeah. So I remember I don't know what that episode maybe sticks out because it's so silly. And it was just like, yo, and I guess maybe for him, I think he was trying to be in that world, like bodybuilding. So for him, he was just like, look, the only way I can compete, my upper body is looking good. I can sculpt that. But for some reason, I just can't. I can't even get my thighs. But and it's hard. Like doing legs and sculpting like your calf muscles is difficult. Like your thighs might be a little easier. But to sculpt your calves, nigga, you got to probably do three a day. Like like three times a week, I probably got to do calves. If you want to really start to get them a bit bigger. So that and then what was I just had another show.
You know which one I like that my brother hated? Extreme Cheapskates. And they used to do some wild shit on there. It started getting scripted, you could tell. Yeah. But Extreme Cheapskates was the one where they're like, I pick up change on the ground. They're not impoverished or anything. They're just like, I don't like spending money. It was a lady that would like keep the spaghetti water and reboil it and hot dog while she was putting everything in this water. Yes. But the one, because I used to, like, me and my brother always watch TV together. So this one lady that he just was like, made him hate that show. She was like, I'm sorry, I'm getting high now. The thing I like about that show is it's all different races. So like the spaghetti water lady was black and her husband was like, I hate this. This was a little Asian lady, and she was so little and cute, but she would dress so dusty, and it made me so mad. I'm like, you're adorable. Are you dressing like that? She would have on, like, she's like, I go find these clothes sometimes. They would have holes in them. She was like, I haven't bought underwear in years. She wouldn't wash her clothes in a washing machine. She would use like little soaps that she got from somewhere in the sink, or she would wash them while she was taking a shower. And then, she would like go dumpster diving for food in like high end restaurants, but like some of it would still be open. So she had a friend that was coming over with his girlfriend or something, and she went to the restaurant, was digging stuff out the trash, and served it to him out the trash, like stuff like that. That show is crazy. Right, so I'm like, right. Is this real?
I
want you to watch it now.
What's it called?
Extreme Cheapskates.
I never heard of that.
Look up clips on YouTube. It's just to see people doing. It's some man, he wouldn't take his wife out on dates, and then he finally took her out on a date to the movies, and it was like a dollar movie, and he went and got some popcorn out the trash, like, and then went and got a refill. He was like, you know, they gotta give you free refills. So they got free refills for popcorn and a drink, and the wife was like, oh my God, he's never spent money on me. I'm like, why are y'all married to these people?
That sounds like my dad. My dad.
Get out the trash.
Not the trash, but he'd be like, yo, what you want off the 99 cent menu? You know what I'm saying? But we got to talk about catfish too.
I feel like catfish. Oh my God, like, how do we not talk about catfish?
I feel like
funniest catfish shit ever, because all they do is Google.
Yo, it's, oh man. That shit, I thought that shit was, I don't know what's fake on there, what's real, but some of the episodes, I'm just like, I've been shook by. But I'm also too with cat. Also, too, with cat, because I thought I got catfish before. There's a girl that we actually end up dating long distance, but I met her in person. But I thought at one point I was just like, all right, this girl looks beautiful. She looks like a model, like of like Janelle Monae / Kelly Rowland. And I was like, I was like, at the time I was like, I can get good looking women, but I was like, this just seems too good to be true. It's like,
what's the problem?
this is something off. And then when she came out to come visit me, she came out for something else first, but then she was like, we can see each other. So at first she didn't see me. She's like, oh, I got to do this. I'm too busy. I'm like, oh, I got
catfish.
And then she's like, no, I think I canceled. Let's meet up now. And we met up. I was just like, I remember my dad was like, yo, here's like, remember, call me if anything happens. If you gotta stab a motherfucker up, nigga, here you go. And then I remember she got to the car. When she got in, I was like, oh, thank God. She's real. But nigga.
Yo, this guy I dated catfished me with his pictures. Like, it was him. So, like, we talked when I was, like, in high school. Like, we weren't, like, boyfriend, girlfriend. But we, like, were talking for, like, a couple months. We'll hang out, go out to eat and stuff. And he used to play football. So, it was big, swole dude. And this is, like, that had to be, let's say, 2006, right? So, now, 2020... I see him, I'm like, yeah, yo, that guy looks familiar. I'm like, oh, it's him. And we start back talking, and it turns out he stays close to me. And I'm like, yo, like, I don't even remember why we stopped talking. Like, I think it was just one of them, like, you kind of fall off type things. Yeah. I really like, he was funny. I'm like, oh, yeah, we should meet up. He's like, okay, let's go out to eat. Then cancel. And he canceled like 3 or 4 times. And I was just like, all right. He was being weird, and like, you know, I work out a lot, so like, I was talking about like, yo, I'm about to go to the gym, da 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 da. And then one day he slipped up and said something about like, yo, I haven't worked out in years. And I was like, years? I was like, wait a minute. And then I went back and looked at the pictures, and I was like, some of these look familiar. They look too fucking familiar. These are the pictures you had in like 2006, 2000, back then when we were fucking talking.
Wow.
Yo, and then some of them were newer, but like I could tell. And then he was like, you know, I don't, because he played semi-pro or overseas or something like that. I remember he played. And he was like, yeah, you know, I haven't played for all these years. I stopped playing. I stopped working out. You know, I'm bigger now. And he sent me a picture, and he definitely was bigger. And I was so mad, not because he was bigger, but like, why did you lie?
Like, leave with those pictures
and allow me to, because the thing was, yeah, he was bigger, but he was still attractive. And I still would have fucked. Like, but now I'm like, I'm not gonna fuck you because you're a liar. And we've been talking for like a couple weeks. Like, now you don't get no pussy because you lie. This has nothing to do with weight. You're a liar, and that's weird, especially for you to lie to somebody that like knew you, because I know you. So when I saw you, I would have known that you don't, like, why'd you do this? Like, it was so unnecessary. It was so, so unnecessary, and I was so mad.
I think that's the main catfish, though. The main catfish is somebody that posts old pictures. Because, I mean, I used to be on an app called Soul Swipe back in the day. I think it's called, you heard of Soul Swipe before?
Yeah, I heard of it.
So it's like, it's a Black Tinder. I think it's something called, I think it's called something different now. But I was on there, and I met this girl, beautiful. And when she came, it was really strictly transactional. It's like strictly, yo. She's like, I'm at the studio. I'm going to come to your crib after the studio. Can I come through? I was like, yeah, come through. So I'm meeting her outside, and I'm just like, maybe that's not her. This is a larger human being. It's not her. It's a larger human being. She's just walking towards me. And it was, and like you said, it was more like, I was just upset that she, clearly she was like 30 pounds lighter in the pictures. And I don't have an issue because, like, I still smash. Like,
that's the part.
Yeah, it's like I don't have an issue with big girls, nothing like that. I don't care. But it's just like the fact that I'm thinking you like a whole different person. Like, I can tell, like, face wise, size wise, you have way more weight on you. And it's like you might have been like 125 here, and you're like 160 something here. That's a clear difference. And she was like, she's like, sorry, you know, I might look a little bit different. When she,
no, ma'am, like, get out. I was like, don't try to.
It's too late now. So, but that's normally the main catfish difference that I see is normally like somebody was
old pictures
or like, and angles.
Like you said, let me choose if I want, because the thing is, yes, people, there's this whatever society standard bullshit, but for the most part, if we're being honest. If I'm on Tinder, I'm trying to fuck. And I'm not necessarily, if I'm on Tinder looking, I'm not super duper picky. Not even like that. Like, I don't have a type. I'm on Tinder. Like, yeah. I'm not, if I'm looking for a specific person, I'm going to go out and meet them somewhere. You know what I mean? I'm going to go talk to people. I'm on here swiping, and more than likely, I'm just looking to fuck. Maybe hang out. If something happens, cool. But like, you know what this is. So why did you need to lie when you already know that... It more than likely doesn't matter as much as you think it does.
I think it's just one of those. It's an insecurity thing. When you was on Tinder though, did you do like a guy? Because like as guys, when we were on Tinder and stuff like that, we're not even looking. We're just like, I used to be at open mics and I'd just be swiping.
Yeah, right. I don't do that because dudes are weird. So we can't do that. You've even done that, and somebody's like, kick me in my teeth, in my dick after. And it's like, yo, what the fuck? Yeah, men ain't shit. That's why I still be getting on Tinder when I'm sad and I want some attention. I'm like, oh, I'm so ugly. I'm so pretty. And then I log off.
It's always so funny, like, just talking to either homegirls about, like, their dating app experience. I can go off me, like, I'm not like that. I don't care to do weird stuff. I'm trying to smash, of course. That was a goal when I was on there.
I'm trying
but
to smash.
It's not like, yeah, so what are you into? Are you into, like, shitting on people? Like, is like my cousin, she told me, she's right around the dude, and the first thing he sent her was, like, a dick pic. That's the first thing he sent. And it's like, are niggas really leading with dick pics on dating apps? It's like, a lot of niggas lead with dick pics. I'm like, this is crazy to me.
They'd be like, like, they'll leave. Where do you live? Whoa. Where do I live? Fuck no, murderer. It'll be like, I always get a lot of, can we go out for drinks tonight? And I'm like, I don't really drink. And then they don't have another option. I'm like, oh, you suck.
and that was like, I was a dude, I don't drink like that. So I didn't know, like, for me, it was also hard to kind of like, I started to use either hiking or like, let's like go to the park, so something to the beach, to the park, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Because I can't be like, let's go drink. I don't drink. Drinks are expensive, my nigga. Like, I ain't trying to come out 150 for a bill for nothing.
I don't want, why, like, now that I, especially now that I'm older, I'm like, why do you want to get me drunk on the first date? Like, on the first, not like, oh, let's go get food. Like, food and drinks is different. Food, that's like a chilling vibe. But let's go get drinks means we're just drinking. Why are you trying to get me drunk?
To try to fuck. I mean,
predator. Like, to try to fuck. And then because I overanalyze shit all the time, I'm like, you trying to get me drunk because you think my inhibition is going to be down and it's more than likely that I'm going to fuck, which means you don't have enough self-confidence to fuck me. Good day, sir. Okay.
I think it's part of that. I'll say this just to argue back on that. I think it's part of that, but I think it's also to the anxiety of going out on a date. for both men and women. For men, there is a lot of anxiety from our standpoint, right? When we're going out with you, it's we, us getting there, you denying us getting used. It's multiple things. I do think there's predators out there for sure. I would never deny that. There's 100% predators. But I do think in a good amount of cases too, that if somebody being like, all right, I know if we both at least drink at least one drink, we'll both probably loosen up at least. It's not about getting you fucked up. It's about, all right, we let our guards down a little bit. You know, we can now be open about what we want to ask each other. And then if, you know, the nerves are kind of, from what I know from most people, drinks bring the nerves down, you know? So I think in some cases, but for y'all.
But that's what I'm like, where's the food part? That's what I'm like, if you want to kick it, food,
drink me then.
But it's like the I get what you're saying though. Cause it is nerve wracking meeting people and doing all that stuff. But like I said, add one more element, like, let's get drinks at the arcade. Okay. Like there's something else involved, but just sitting there drinking, looking at you, I don't know you. So we just sitting there, you know, like this is just purely fucking transactional, which is fine. And also let's say that, like, let's go get some drinks and then come over. At least I know what your intent. I'm like, let's get some drinks and hang out. I don't want anything more. Like, get the fuck out of here. I know.
But we have to. Come on, Roxy. Stop. We have to do that. We have
then,
to
then do it better. That's my point then. If you, my thing is, if you trying to fuck and that's all you want to do is fuck, then you make it worthwhile for me. Like, yeah, I'm getting dick. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're going to get used. Buy me some food. Come with some presents. And then I'll unroll the pussy. But to be like, here, take this $15 water drink to fuck
that's
me.
That's expensive.
Then that's why we not fucking. If that's what y'all think, not fucking. I will pack my pussy on up, okay? You should do more.
I mean, that's why I'm glad.
More than that, you married. You know it's more than $15 drink.
I mean, for me, that's why I'm glad I'm married now, because it's just like, this single shit is just, that shit is stressful. It's expensive. It's damn near more expensive than being single. So
you might as well just go get one. Now she's here. I like her.
I like her and I love her, because sometimes you just love somebody, but I don't like the motherfucker, but I love them. Yeah.
Like, now I rock with you. Like, if we weren't married, I'd fuck with you. Like, you cool. And that's the type of marriage I want. Like, I want to be friends with my human. Like, I want to, we fuck and we suck and fucking suck and do all that and the romantic shit, but, like, we can talk and we can kick it and we can hang out and we can, like, exist together. And like you said, have the tough conversations.
And back to reality shows. That's what I like with her. It's just like we literally have shows. It's like, yo, if I'm gone for the weekend doing some shows, she's like, hey, all right, so you can't watch a show without me until I get back then.
Oh, like, I'll leave you if you watch it without me. I think
almost cheating. It's almost like
it
cheating.
Is like you don't give a fuck about me if you don't watch. What's y'all show?
Right now, we're watching The Wire for the first time together because we never watched The Wire. So watching The Wire, we're all caught up on Snowfall. So we're Snowfall is our show too. We already finished up Breaking Bad. We finished up a couple reality shows too. But my girl also too. She's not into like a lot of scary like thriller stuff. So a lot of that times I got to watch that stuff on my own. Like she'll just be like, all right, even if it's a reality show, it starts getting crazy. She'll be like, all right, I'm tapping out. I can't.
So that's enough. I don't like scary shit either. I'll take like a horror, maybe not horror. What is it? Like psychological thrillers I like.
Yeah.
Gore and murder. Like when it's too much and they chop a head, I'm like, what's popping up and shit.
Yeah, because for her, it's like, she can watch it during the daytime. She's like, I can watch it during the daytime. But she's like, before I go to bed, it's too much trauma. It messes up my brain when I go to sleep. And then I wake up, and next thing you know, like, I'm attached to you. And it's just like, all right, I get it. It makes sense. But it's like, but to me, that's like one of my favorite parts of a relationship is being able to have that connection. Let's come up on the couch, eat some popcorn, watch a TV show together. Let's binge watch some shit for hours and then fall asleep on the couch. It's like, yeah, like you said, the sex stuff is great. Of course, you're going to want that through your marriage. You're not going to want that to like die down. But it's like the intimacy doesn't necessarily mean sexual. You know, I know this podcast took a different turn, but.
That's what happens here, baby. We just.
But I mean, the reality of it too, I mean, that's what I like about it. That's what I like about the intimacy of just like being near each other is dope to me. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I like you touching me. And that's actually a good way to end it. I hope everybody gets to find their person or persons or people or whatever it may look like for you. Because, yeah, you need somebody to binge watch all this crazy fucking shit with. I want to thank you, Mr. Baker, Mr. Keenan Baker, for coming through for this episode of Bedtime Bitching. Tell everybody where they can find you. And if you have anything coming up, this is going to drop in March. So if you got anything coming up March and beyond, let the people know.
Shit, I might have a show in March in the sense of like out of town. Like I'm not sure. I might be in Louisville, I think. Hey. Don't quote me yet. But other than that, man, just follow me on Instagram, Keenan Baker, K-E-E-N-A-N, Anime Shun, S-H-U-N for the Shun. And hit me up, DM me if you y'all can't see, but I have these Dragon Ball, but like KB hats, beanies, dad hats, and bucket hats, man. So hit me up, man. I appreciate it. And yeah, man, I think I just show love, man. Show love to Roxy, man. Thank you for having me, Roxy. You're always fun energy. You always have great energy. So that's why we already told her she's pretty much an extension of our podcast. Whenever she want to hop her ass back on, she can just be like,
yeah, my sister, I need to hit y'all up because I definitely want to come back on for another episode. I'm trying to figure. I want to talk about Studio Ghibli. I want to talk about.
We can because I don't fuck with that.
I know. Yeah. And that's why we talk about it. And I'm going to make you watch a movie.
Shit.
You got to because it's work. So now you have to because we have to discuss it. That's why I'm doing it. All right. So Roxy Hayes, and follow me on everything at Roxy Hayes. R-A-X-Y-H-A-Z-E. If you're, like I said, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or SoundCloud, thank you. Leave me a review. Let me know what you think. If you're watching this on Patreon, thank you. I appreciate you. Make sure to check out my other two podcasts. Tell Me a Story, Roxy, which is my storytelling podcast where I just tell you a fucking story. The last one was about the time I had sex at an alligator park. I talked about how I got lost at Disneyland because I got too high. And my other podcast is Anti-Meridium, where just my Monday morning motivational podcast where we talk about, like, you know, scheduling and being a better person and books to read and all that stuff. So I give you all the different facets of me on this podcast.
Completely different podcast. Yeah.
I'm getting sponsors either way, baby. What y'all want? I got it all for you. What you need? So thank you so much. Y'all have a wonderful night. Bye. Good night. Go to sleep.
Peace. Hard nigga, bad nigga, I'm fly nigga. Yeah. Hard nigga, bad nigga, I'm fly. Please don't be alarmed. It's just me high up over here. Chilling with my niggas, blowing smoke up in the air. Do not give a fuck about what you wear.